Well, happy Thanksgiving, or the day after. I hope you had a great time with your family and gave a lot of thanks to God. He has blessed us. You know, every day I remind Donna of the blessings that He has bestowed upon us as a nation, as a people. I know some of you are going through really difficult times right now, financially or with your, perhaps with your health or other areas, but developing an attitude of thankfulness is a powerful part of the healing process, I think, spiritually and otherwise, in our life. And so welcome to Intentional Living today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and I tell you what we're going to do today. You know, this has been called Black Friday. Of course, now with the internet and ordering online, it doesn't seem to come down to one day. It's a whole season. But on this day after Thanksgiving, when many of us are thinking about Christmas now and thinking about gift giving and so on, I thought it'd be a good idea to share with you a program that I recorded with my friend Parkey Thompson, who is a certified financial counselor from Georgia and our Intentional Living financial coach. We're thinking about money, closing out the year, being intentional. So I thought you would enjoy hearing this program again. So let's get started. Parkey, welcome to the program today.
Glad to be here, and thank you for having me.
You know, we were talking before we came on the air a little bit, just talking about things, the housing market and the inflation and the cost of things. And boy, and you know, I've been doing teaching on reset. You know, maybe it's a time to reset in our lives and our really strengthen our faith and our family and so on. And I thought, boy, we need to talk about resetting finances. I think there have been times, periods in history where we got to get really serious about a reset. Do you think this is a time for finances where we need to be thinking about resetting our thinking about money?
I think it's a great opportunity, and I think we're kind of forced into doing that when you look how everyone is affected by this. And it's very important now that we really look at the fact that we need to be good stewards and focused on what we need to be doing intentionally, managing the resources that we have been given. And I think it's vitally important that we stop, look around, and reset from where we've been going to head in the right direction of where we're at based upon what we find ourselves in today.
It's been such a weird time with COVID and now coming out, and I don't know if anybody had predicted this inflation response. And my wife, Don, and I were over in California just about 2 weeks ago, enjoying a little break, and I paid $4.79 a gallon. And I told Parkey, I said, you know what I did is I filled up just enough to get me over the border to get back into Arizona, where at least it was like a buck cheaper or something. But I mean, people have to be more aware of the cost. Where does a person begin right now to get ahead of this in their own personal finances?
Well, I think you've really got to make sure that you step back and you really look and see what's vitally important to you. In other words, we could be spending a lot of money in different places and find ourselves needing some of those things that we've got to have when the price is through the roof. And now we're back into possibly going into debt and extending what is going on right now well into the future simply because we're not managing like we should. I encourage everyone to stop and see and actually lay out a plan and lay out a budget that will actually show you where you're spending money and will visually show you where you can make some changes in there to be freeing up cash in different areas, hopefully saving as well, but being able to meet some of these needs to do the things that you need to do. It is important to do that. And so if you don't have a written plan, a written budget, now's the time to reset. Get that out of your mind. Get that out of your head. Things are busy. Get that down on paper. If you're married, make sure you and your spouse both are doing this so that you both can be on the same page. And really taking care of those vital things that are important to you.
You know, you sent me some things that we're talking about reset, and you gave a little 4-point outline here, and I think you just touched on it. You talked about setting goals. Goals are so critical. What kind of financial goals should people be looking at this point?
Well, I think you can start with some very simple things, kind of like we talked about there with the budgeting. I'm not saying living by a budget is simple, but actually getting into a budget or written plan is a goal that people should be looking at. I mean, here we are approaching the end of the year much quicker than we thought we would. It was just January yesterday, it seems like. We're approaching the end of the year. Now we should start thinking about what are some of the things that we want to accomplish over this next month and a half? How are those things going to help us as we begin to move forward? Getting those things down and setting them down. And then begin to set a priority. What is that priority goal that we have? You know, I heard somebody say the other day, there's no such word as the word priorities, simply because if we use that priorities, we've just neutered the word priority. We have to focus on that thing that's most important and really look to achieve that. What is that goal? What is that thing that we want to achieve? Maybe it's getting out of debt or getting out of a portion of debt. Maybe you've got $10,000 in debt and you want to cut that by 25%. You need to lay out a goal and some milestones along the way, working with your budget that simply says, we're going to attack this thing. At this point, we're going to be here. At this point, we're going to be here. And making sure we're doing the things that we should be doing, we have met that goal that we wanted to meet. Without having that, so many things in life get in the way.
Yeah.
And our ability to lay out a plan and execute to that plan means that we can achieve that goal and move on to the next goal in our life. Maybe it's a great time because of what's going on here and looking back and reflecting and quite honestly resetting to allow this mess that we're in, allow us to start being in a position where we fix some of our bad financial mistakes and be able to change our course. So coming out of this stuff, we're in a position to be much better stewards than what we've been in the past.
Right. Goals. Listen, goals are powerful. They're got to be flexible. Times you're going to have to adjust your plan as you're moving ahead. That's part of it. But if you don't have a plan of where you're headed, you're going to be going in circles. We got a question. Let me see, from Tennessee. Carla is on the line with a question. How you doing, Carla?
Hey, I'm doing great, Randy. Thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. What's your question for Parkey today?
Well, I have a question. My husband and I are heading close to 60, and we just purchased a home about 2.5 years ago when the market was still good, and now the current value of our home has doubled. It's the only debt we have, the mortgage at an interest rate of 2.5%.
Wow.
But looking around now, we could potentially sell this home and take equity and buy cash, downsize a smaller home. So just wondering if that's a good thing to do at our age. We don't have any other debt, no credit card debt, no cars, anything like that. And of course, we were hoping this would be our forever home, but we have a 30-year mortgage on it. So wondering about selling a home in this market, which for the housing sales part is strong, and downsizing, if that's a good. I also am at risk of losing my job in the next 2 months with federal contracts.
So you're so thinking you have a mortgage on your home. So the thought would be is if you sold it, you could get that paid off, downsize, and maybe not have debt at all?
Correct. So the equity in the home would buy us another home, smaller and maybe not as nice a location, but smaller mortgage-free.
Great question. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about that. They could pull out of their house double what they put into it and then do something else. How do you have people think that through, Parkey?
Well, Dr. Carlson, you know a little bit of my story. We talked about it again before we went on the air. Karen, that's just what we did. In fact, God has blessed us so much that we get to move into that next house on Saturday. The truth is, my wife's been trying to talk me into downsizing for a long time. Our house has been paid off for 14 years. We're extremely thankful for that. But I'm 59, so I'm right there with you guys. We had no mortgage. You've got a 2.5%, which is good rate. But the whole idea of coming out of that, taking that equity and applying it to something else that would put you in a position where you can live without any type of house payment, I think is a wonderful idea. I think a couple of things that you said there that I would want you to consider. Number one, how long is it going to take for you to find something else and where do you live? That was the predicament that we were in. A lot of people find themselves in today. We're going to have to rent somewhere, move in with family, if that's the right thing to do, whatever the case may be. Where I live, a lot of houses were not available. So we were very fortunate. And I do believe that God put this in our laps in the situation that we were in this housing market. But a lot of people find themselves waiting for a long time. Are you guys prepared to do that as well? Secondly, you mentioned the possibility of losing your job because of the COVID stuff. If you did this and you came out of it, and let's say you did lose your house, but you were able to, or your job, are you able to buy this house and still be able to live comfortably without your income? Those would be the two things that I'm looking at, that, you know, as a coach, to simply say, is this the right thing for you to do? Overall, if you are in a position to where you can stomach the time and the risk associated with what it's going to take you to get back into something, that's exactly what we did. And the number one criteria that we went in looking for the new house was no mortgage payment. Secondly, followed by we were going to be downsizing, and we did. We only missed one thing that we were really looking for in our checkoff list there. But again, the gift that we were given, we took care of it there. So I think those are the things that I would be looking at with you guys. And can you make it continuing out? It should help if you don't have a house payment, but are you prepared to wait that window out?
Yeah. Does that help, Carla?
Very good. Thank you so much. Right. I really appreciate
God
that.
Bless
Very
you.
Helpful. Appreciate it.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Bless you too. Appreciate your call from Tennessee. Parkey Thompson's joining me here on Intentional Living today. We're talking about resetting finances. We're going through this time of inflation. Just unbelievable trying to understand maybe a lifetime of financial predictability, and it's all been thrown up in the air here. How do you handle your finances? Maybe you're looking at reset. Maybe you have a question. Parkey is an intentional financial coach. He's gives such great wisdom, biblical insight, and financial wisdom. If you got a question for Parkey, give me a call, 888-888-1717, or you can post it on Facebook. We're live on Facebook here as well. You can see how handsome Mr. Parkey is. But don't look when I'm on. Okay, don't put me up there, Gino. All right. 888-888-1717. Talking about, we'll take a break in a moment, but talking about houses. What about a young couple, maybe they don't have a house. They've been living in an apartment and they've just been priced right out of this thing. I mean, at what point do you jump in and strain and stress to try to get on the train, or do you just stay in a rented place? What do people do who are struggling even getting in on this thing?
Well, you know, if they're a client or even friends of mine, I'm encouraging them to wait at this point. I mean, when it comes to buying a house, we see a lot of people getting into houses now with no down payment. They're not as prevalent as what they used to be, but adjustable rate mortgages and so forth when you get into that. And really, they put themselves in a bad financial situation down the road. And so what I'm telling people is, on top of those things, you've got a housing market that's just priced out of control at this particular point. Have some patience, step back, rent what is affordable, safe, but yet affordable. I mean, if you've got a young couple that, you know, that maybe even dual incomes, you really don't need a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment for the two of you. If you had a small family, you may need that extra bedroom or two. But the point is, for most people, they typically rent for more than what they really need to have. Be wise in your rental and save as much as you can. Put that money away and making sure not just that money, but across the board. What I see with young people today, there's two things financially that really kill them financially, and that's car payments and, quite frankly, going out to eat. If you can control those things, put yourself in a position to where you can take that money, be wise, be studious, be intentional with that money, build up a down payment fund, put yourself in a position to where now you can pay down at least 20%. And as this housing market hopefully corrects over the next year or two, put yourself in a position to where you can be competitive with anybody purchasing those homes going forward.
All right. Parkey Thompson joining me today. He's our intentional finance coach, taking your questions on money, decisions you're trying to make. You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors. Maybe this is a little wisdom point for you. If you got a question, give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. We'll be back. We're on Facebook Live as well. You can post your question. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I'm a blessed brother in the Lord that appreciates God because he keeps me going in spite of the post-polio syndrome that I'm experiencing the latter years of my life. And he's just always faithful and true and provides for my every need. He turned me around in 1972.
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm thankful for my husband. He was born on Thanksgiving, and I really feel that when he was born, God had me in mind. You know, because it's just the greatest blessing in my life.
What am I thankful for? The love of God. Foremost and through my heart, the love of God. And then the next thing would be my family.
Oh, everything. Everything. My life now is richer and fuller than I thought it ever would be. And it's because of just totally dying to self and just totally submitting to the Lord. And just asking him, you know, like the Bible says, just, you know, use me and send me. And he has just, he has just made my life so fulfilled and so rich, and I am just so content.
Here's how you can use the power of meditation to overcome worry in your life. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. We become whatever we focus on, whatever we meditate on. So I'm going to encourage you to do what the Apostle Paul commands in Philippians 4. He says, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, Paul says, meditate on these things. I mean, more than just thinking about them, meditate on them. Stop your activity every day and spend some time focusing on the goodness of God, on the good things that God has given you in your life. And as you do, you're becoming more intentional in your life. And when you do, your life will be better. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Randy. My name is Erin, and I was calling to let you know how my husband and I are doing our money intentionally. We have started giving to the church, of course, the 10%, and also we have been giving ourselves an allowance for groceries each month, so we would cut back on that, just some extra spending, so that we can start getting out of debt, so we can give beyond our 10%, give more to the missionaries, and just give back. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I love your show. I think it's great. I think it's very inspirational in itself, and I love you guys. Thanks.
Parkey Thompson joining us, financial coach, helping take your questions. If you'd like to ask a question, there's wisdom in asking the right question to the right people. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Another housing question. Interesting time. Chris is also in Tennessee. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Great. What's your question for Parkey?
Okay, so my question is I'm an ordained minister, and me and my wife were seeking a house. And this house was led to us by God, and then we've been at this home for 8 years. We've totally redone the home completely and updated it. And now, in this time of our economy and the housing market, we were thinking about selling it because we've been offered double amount for what we've already got in it. And so my question is we're a little scared about moving or selling it because it was our Heavenly Father who led us to the home, and He opened the door for that. We just don't want to get out of His will on that. So our thought is seek godly counsel. So we're seeking.
Yeah. Well, I think it's that's a good point. It's not just an economic decision. It's a spiritual decision. You know, where's God putting you and placed you, and what's your heart, your conviction, and so on. It's not just a money decision. It's a good way of looking at it. What about that? I know you're hard, Parkey. You're a believer, and people are making financial decisions. But man, where's the God equation in all this?
Well, and I can only go back to our situation again, and quite frankly, publicly in front of everybody listening here and who may listen in the future, thank Him for what He did. And I will tell you, going into this, it wasn't my thought of selling. I was the one dragging my feet. It was my wife, because my dad passed away several years ago. My father-in-law, just a year prior to that, both of them got to where they couldn't negotiate steps. And my wife kept telling me, we need to sell this house before we get in some sort of situation where we're forced to sell it. And then to Chris's point here, people started paying crazy prices for houses. And I said, well, hey, let's try it. But I asked God going into it that He would watch over us and put us in a position to where we were not being greedy in selling this house. And truthfully, our house was on the market 4 days, 58 showings, and 24 offers. We had three more offers than what we actually settled on. The one that we settled on was almost a guaranteed offer, cash, no inspections, no nothing. They just wanted the house. And so that's the route that we went. Much more than what I believe the house was worth, but at the same time, less than putting us in a position where I felt we were greedy. And then the second part of my prayer was answered as well. And that was that God would enable us to buy a house and not be caught up in all of this craziness that's going on in this market and the overinflated prices and so forth, that He would provide where He wanted us to be in His time at His cost. And I'm thankful that He did. And His timing was right on time in doing that. And so, you know, I know, Chris, that you're a pastor, and I know you believe in prayer, or you wouldn't be a pastor. And the truth is, what I would tell you is step back, bathe that thing in prayer, ask God to just guide you along with each step of the way. And even that first one of pulling the trigger and, selling this house and doing that. Again, like I told the previous caller, I think I called her Karen, I apologize, but Carla, making sure that you are prepared, that in the event that there is some sort of delay from when you would sell and when you would to buy, that you're in a position where you'd have some place to live. In our particular case, when we sold, we were able to communicate that to buyers that we were looking for at least a 2-month window before we got out. The people that we bought from, they needed a 4-month window before they got out. And so we were able to work that out through all of that. And again, through all of it, and I step back and I look now, and this may not be appropriate for people listening to finances, but the truth is, it was almost like the book of Esther, where you never see God's name mentioned, but you see that he was guiding you through each step of the way. I would encourage you to pray about it, you and your wife, and again, to just follow his leading each step of that.
Very powerful. The fact that you have that heart, Chris, I think God will, I know he'll guide you, you know, if you got that sensitivity, making sure you and your wife are both on the same page. Ethan is in Michigan with a question. Hey, Ethan, how you doing?
Good. How you doing today?
Good, good. Go right ahead. What's your question for Parkey?
So I'm dealing with a predicament of 3 different loans. I have 2 car loans and a house loan. And right now we're in a 30-year fixed with our house and with a higher percentage interest rate, which we were thinking about refinancing. But the situation is, in January, my student loans resume. The payments resume it's still a income-driven plan, but it's high enough to where it throws another wrench in the plan. And right now, with my wife and I's jobs, I currently work at a nonprofit. My wife works at a hospital. And it's a situation where I'm just trying to figure out what the best option, how to go about things, because the biggest piece I'm looking at is, do I steer to a job that pays more money in a time of uncertainty, or do I stay where I'm at and try to, you know, maybe sell things that I have the loans on and try to reconfigure the plan and realign those goals, rewrite those goals.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think that probably a lot of people listening, it seems to be a theme on this, you know, repositioning, reset right now. What should I do with loans and interest rates and houses and so on? I think it gets kind of back to what you talked about, Parkey, with reset. We've got to kind of have a longer term view of what our life's about. I think so often we get caught in the moment. What should I do now or in the next 6 months instead of where do I want to be? You know, what is it I want to head toward? Right. So what would you say to Ethan?
Well, with Ethan and a lot of people, they find themselves in a position where they've got the car loans, the mortgage. Ethan, you didn't get into how much more of that 30-year that you've got going there for you, but you did mention that I believe the interest rate's a little bit higher maybe than the 2.5% we heard there earlier in looking at that. The one thing that you did mention, the one thing that's causing you some concern at this particular point, are those student loans coming back on in January. I have no crystal ball. In fact, if I did, I'd probably have glass all over my eyes because it just blow up. Now, what I would be concerned with is looking at these things that you have at this particular point and really looking at those loans and the 2 car loans specifically. You may want to consider a refinance. Sometimes a refinance is not necessarily the best thing to do, depending on how far you're into that. Even if you are cutting your rate by a percentage or 2 points, just really need to look and see where that math is. And quite frankly, what I call the rate of return over another 30-year loan. If you're cutting it from a 30 to a 15, it may be a wise choice. But then again, you're talking back into making a little bit tighter with where you're at financially. What I would really look at, and you didn't mention any other debt other than the cars or maybe some credit loan or credit card and so forth, but I would really be looking to see how aggressive I could get on that one car payment that has the lowest payoff amount, see how much I can pay that off over the next many months. And if I get that moratorium extended, how much that we can pay off to be done with it. On top of that, you throw in the job situation. There again, I tell people when we get into a career situation, and I never want to offend people, but you really got to step back and look and say, what do I want to do when I grow up? What do I want to be? And really allow God to work. As I have found through my 15 years of doing this with people, most people are working a job simply because they've got themselves in a financial position where that income has to come in to be able to take care of that. You're saying it's kind of a little bit of a different where you're in a nonprofit making not as much as maybe you could somewhere else. So I think you really got to look and see, you know, depending on the way that God's got you wired and his direction in your life, what is the best thing for you? But at the same time, I wouldn't let money drive everything. A lot of times we can make more money and be miserable in what we are doing. Mm. I would allow God to give me the wisdom to do the things that we should be doing.
Amen to that.
This happened in the pharmacy on Saturday. The pharmacist knows me and through thick and thin and for years. And he said to me, "Well, how are you, Suzanne?" And without even reservation, I just looked at him and I said, "I am blessed and highly favored." And he looked at me, and there was an audience not knowing that was listening. And I said, "Because it's down to this, Daryl. I have food, I have clothing, I have shelter, and I have transportation. And to have all of that, I have a job. And for that, I'm thankful."
"Oh, I'm thankful for everything that God provides. The wife he gave me, my family, everything.
I'm thankful for the peace that God has given me. I have just a trying family situation that my husband and I are dealing with today. And the Lord has just really given us peace through this, and we're just trusting him that he's going to, you know, keep providing that peace and, you know, throughout our family."
You know, there's strength and thankfulness, and when we coming through this Thanksgiving weekend now, what a great time to reflect on the things we're thankful for, and hopefully carry it on not only this weekend but into the weeks ahead. It's a powerful thing. I think about myself as we're wrapping up the show today. I'm thankful to have good enough health to be able to continue to do this and work with a great team like Stephen and Jennifer and be around people that together we're trying to make a difference in people's lives. I'm thankful for my wife, Donna. We've been together for so many years and loving each other and having a great time with our kids and grandkids. And so we have a lot of things to be thankful for, spending time with our family as we're able, even though we have some family that are serving in mission capacity overseas, but being able to connect. I'm thankful for technology today that we can get on and talk to people around the world. It's an exciting time, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for you. Thankful for your prayers, for the ministry. I'm thankful for those who are stepping in and saying, "We want to be a part of your family support-wise, and you're supporting the ministry." Thank you. Doing whatever God leads you to do, we appreciate it. But everybody being a part of the ministry. If you'd like to know more about intentional living, come to our website, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you do, there's a lot of opportunity to learn more about the ministry. And if you want to join us and support, you can do that right there online by hitting the icon for donate. I'd love to have you call and talk to our staff, but you know what? We gave them a break for this holiday weekend. But everything that you need to know about the ministry and join and support is available online when you go to theintentionallife.com. So for my wife, Donna, and myself, our children and grandchildren, and our entire family and staff, God bless you. Thank you for your support and prayers, and happy Thanksgiving weekend.